morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. We're at 61 degrees under sunny skies. Today is Friday, May 2nd, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Most people will never run 1,700 miles in their lives. Brett and David Wilcox have run 1,700 miles since January, and they still have a long way to go. The father-son team from Sitka is running across the country to raise awareness about genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, prevalent in the American diet. The runners are in Parsons, Kansas, a little beyond the halfway point of their journey from Huntington Beach, California, to Atlantic City, New Jersey. KCAW's Robert Woolsey caught up with the Wilcoxes by phone to find out how things are going.
Brett Wilcox is 53 years old. After running 20 miles each day, he takes a nap in the family's camper. If there's a Wi-Fi signal, though, his 15-year-old son and running partner, David, has to do his schoolwork online.
It's totally unfair. Chris and I quit our jobs to do this, so it does seem like we have a little bit of a walk in the park. The flip side of that is we quit our jobs. And so we're having to deal with the financial burdens.
Brett and his wife, Chris, have been planning this trip for months. The run across America started on January 18th from the Pacific side of the continent. Their younger daughter, Olivia, and dog, Angel, round out the support team. The team has grown along the way.
We now have a new dog named Jenna that we picked up in Dalhart, Texas, about a month ago. So imagine the two parents, two teenagers, two dogs living in this small trailer. It makes for living perhaps the way our grandparents might have lived out on the farm in a small home. And we're together all the time.
When they're not running, that is. Brett and David are on the road 6 days a week, putting in 20 miles a day. Including schoolwork, David says it's a little like having a full-time job. And for a sport that requires little but shoes, the shoes are taking a beating.
I've finished 3 pairs, but I've only worn out 2.
David and his dad spent some time early in the trip running on interstates, but the route lately has been 2-lane highways, which can have a lot of traffic. He says people often stop to offer them rides, and sometimes they call the authorities.
In the past few days, 3 or 4 policemen have stopped to see about our baby in the stroller.
What about a baby in a stroller?
Oh, we carry the stroller for our gear, and when Jenna's tired, our dog, we can put her inside the stroller and just push her until she wants to run again.
Okay.
A bunch of people think we're taking a baby somewhere.
Interacting with people, though, is what this adventure is all about. For example, David and Olivia spoke to a youth church group while in Parsons, Kansas. In Wichita, the family gave a presentation at a natural food store. Chris calls ahead in the itinerary to set up events and interviews. People have been receptive to their message, but they haven't been swamped by media requests. At home in Alaska, the family eats as much organic food as possible and as much non-GMO food as possible. Brett says traveling across the country from a culinary perspective can be discouraging.
Living in Sitka, it's much easier to get the foods that we would like to eat than running through America's heartland, which seems kind of strange, but we can go 100, 200 or 300 miles without being able to find an organic loaf of bread.
Going through some of these small towns, there are no choices.
This is Chris Wilcox. She hit a low point in Gallup, New Mexico.
I went into a Walmart a month or so ago and just got angry because I wanted to feed my family, and there were tons of food there, but nothing that I could get to. For them. We wanted something quick and easy, and we ended up buying, I think, bananas. And I wanted them to have a meal.
Chris says the warmest surprise of the trip was dining at a Chipotle Mexican Grill in Wichita. The chain serves a non-GMO menu. When the management learned that the Wilcoxes were running across the country to spread the word about genetically modified organisms in our diet, the meal was served on the house. Their next stop is a spring planting festival in Mansfield, Missouri, which could be attended by as many as 7,000 people. The Wilcoxes hope to arrive in Atlantic City by mid-July. David Wilcox says he's already looking forward to getting back to Sitka and trying out for the high school cross-country team. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can find pictures of the Wilcox family and a link to their blog on our website, kcaw.org. The first large cruise ship of the season docked in Ketchikan last week. Holland America's Volendam carries more than 1,200 passengers. The cruise started in Japan, and Ketchikan was the final stop before the cruise ends in Vancouver. KRBD's Emily Files went downtown to talk to tourists and business owners who were just opening shop.
Silver Line North.
It's going north through
the tunnel.
How far from here?
It'll go all the way out.
An employee at the Ketchikan Visitor Center is explaining the city's bus system to a tourist couple wearing rain gear. The center is filled with passengers from the Volendam who are taking shelter from rain and asking questions about Ketchikan. Carrie is the visitor services coordinator here.
I think we're off to an okay start. We'll see how it goes. I think it's good. Yeah. Yeah, it's always exciting. The first ship is always kind of exciting, and everybody, there's a lot of energy in the air.
I caught a couple tourists as they were heading out the door.
Bill and Terry Heaver.
And where are y'all from?
Williamsburg, Virginia.
What are y'all planning to do in Ketchikan?
What we intend to do, we're just going to sightsee. Just take a look around, see what you have to offer.
Anything in particular you want to see?
Eagles. I'm dying to see. I love birds, and I want to see the eagles.
Bill and Terry are celebrating their 50th anniversary with this cruise. They say they had no idea Alaska was so vast, and they hope to come back again. Outside of the visitor center, it's cold and rainy, but that's driving people into the shops lining downtown Ketchikan. A lot of those shops have been closed all winter and are just opening for the season today.
My name is Kanoe Thomas, and I work for Alaska Bear Company. We opened today, and we just got the store ready, and we are a local store, so we've been trying to get the store ready before the ships come in. It's actually really exciting because in the wintertime here, it's kind of like a ghost town downtown, and so when the cruise ships come in, it's kind of like the downtown's really alive, so I'm really excited to meet new people this year.
I'm Ted Zavakis from the Yukon East Popcorn Emporium. We opened today.
So what's it like to interact with the tourists?
I love it. I mean, meeting new people every day. It's just, it's such a neat, you know, and because most people, you know, we get a lot of foreign, not non-U.S. folks, and so they're just so interesting to talk to hear their dialects and their accents.
There are about a dozen traffic guards scattered downtown wearing orange and yellow vests. They're holding stop signs at some of the busy crosswalks.
My name is Dusinger Jabel. It's important for us to be out here helping because, When the cruise ship season starts, we have the tourists, and then we have to make sure they are safe from getting hit by a car, something like that. That's why we control the traffic so that they are safe.
When they're not crossing the street, the tourists are in the shops.
I'm Corinne. I'm from Singapore. A second time in Ketchikan, yeah.
So how would you describe Alaska to your friends back in, you said Singapore?
Fantastic place, you know, magnificent glacier scenery. And friendly people, I'll tell them to come.
Not all of the tourists have positive things to say about Alaska. Before Ketchikan, the Volendam stopped in Juneau. This is Kel from Calgary, Canada.
I just want to say Juneau, being your capital of the state of Alaska, needs to improve itself a lot. It left a really bad impression on a lot of the people on the ship because it's so run down. A lot of intoxicated people walking around the streets.
The only complaint tourists seem to have about Ketchikan was the rain. The next cruise ship docks in town May 4th. I'm Emily Files.
About 850,000 cruise ship passengers are expected to visit Ketchikan this season, almost 10 times as many who will visit Sitka, which is experiencing its lowest passenger volume in several years. The first big ship of the season, the Westerdam, will drop anchor in Sitka next Wednesday. The Alaska legislature's most junior member says this year's 95-day legislative session shows lawmakers can take on only a few big issues in the 90 days mandated by voters. As Jeremy Shea reports, Representative Sam Keto III says he's interested in returning to a 120-day session.
Going back to a 120-day session is a politically touchy subject.
I think that it's important to, for me, to think about how we might be able to try and maybe think about going back to a 120-day session.
That's Representative Sam Keto III. Voters narrowly mandated the shorter session through a ballot initiative in 2006. It was sold as a way to save money and attract more candidates for elected offices. While politically fraught, it's legally moot. The 120-day language in the state constitution trumps the 90-day voter initiative law. The Juneau Democrat says he was proud to work on House Bill 278, a package of funding increases, and wide-ranging education policy changes. Disagreements over school funding were the key reason for the 5 extra days in session. The bill didn't clear the legislature until day 95.
There were still issues that I had with the bill, but when we got down to the end, it was a fairly good compromise. I think there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done again next year, but I was pretty pleased with the end product.
Keto has mixed feelings about the funding. The package includes increases above the governor's proposal, but not enough to prevent staffing reductions in Juneau and other school districts facing budget shortfalls. And much of the new money is not enshrined in the state's education funding formula. Another concern is a requirement on the Department of Administration to propose a statewide school salary schedule. Keto says such a schedule could bypass local union negotiations. House Bill 278 also creates tax credits for donations to private, nonprofit, and religious schools, which Keto believes are unconstitutional. Keto's first legislative session was short. He was sworn in on day 37 to replace longtime Juneau Representative Beth Curtula. She resigned midterm to take a fellowship position at Stanford University. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And that's all for Raven News. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. Well, we're heading back into Morning Edition over NPR. At 8:18 this morning, I'll have a live local interview about the Island Institute's upcoming summer symposium. I hope you can join us for that. It is 62 degrees in downtown Sitka under sunny skies. Sun is in the forecast today throughout our listening region with temperatures in the low to mid-60s.